Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The USFL Gambling Podcast, DFS episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. Bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as 40 grand with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And last but not least, you're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. So grab that thing today and let it ride.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
USFL Gambling Podcast DFS Show. Woo-wee. We are finally home. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dent, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
It's like it's 1986 all over again, or should I say 85. I am joined by my co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. Give it up for the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh. Well,
let me just give you some, let's just start things off with some USFL. Here you go.
Finally getting a chance to see this team in action this weekend. The helmet is on the desk here in the studio. We want to get a good look at these gamblers.
And third man in the booth, the DFS god himself. It wouldn't be a DFS episode without him, Patty C. Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking. Home brew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
Boom. What's going on, guys?
I got you covered.
We come from down in Gator Country. We are the pride of Tampa Bay. We play football and we're called the Bandits. And we think our brand of ball is here to stay.
Bandit ball.
Bandit ball.
Bandit ball.
Bandit ball.
Yeah.
just heater after heater. And I didn't even play this one yet. I mean,
man, I would buy this album. I would buy the USFL. What would you call it?
If you see him on the street, then tip your hat his way. You'll know just where he's headed and which game he's gonna play. He's a sharp shooting gunman and always aiming high. Ooh. To win any gunfight, his limit is the sky. We're the gunslingers from San Antonio. We're the gunslingers on the road or at home.
Rest in
Remember
peace.
Remember the Alamo, for such as we are known. We're the
guys, we need the San Antonio Gunslingers and the Washington Federals and the Memphis Showboats.
What would you call that album? That's the team team song? Yeah. Team
USFL theme album. There Gotta it is. Get it. Put that thing back on. Hey, Spotify, you don't have that one.
Yeah, right. Huh? Slacking.
Guys, we're 48 hours away. We're 48 hours away, man.
48 hours away. And I mean, honestly, guys, this is like a dream come true. It's like a dream come true. I did a fantasy football draft Tuesday night before a comedy show, and you know, it started to hit me then. Then Wednesday, we did the sports gambling podcast USFL show, so go check that one out if you haven't. If you want more USFL content, that is available for you. And
yes,
but it's hitting me as like, man, we're finally here. We're gonna have spring football. I think this is the best setup we've ever had as far as financially backed. As far as we don't have that XFL kickoff.
Yep.
Now there are a couple other rules I'd like to change, but I feel like they mostly got it right so far. And they didn't get the San Antonio Gunslingers. We're waiting for that.
Baby steps.
We're waiting for the Washington Federals. We're waiting for the Memphis Showboats. We're waiting for the Oakland Invaders.
I mean, we have a full plate in front of us right now.
And the Outlaws.
We'll add to it here in the next coming years.
Yeah, and it starts here with this in this DFS show, but I got to start things off with this. Have you guys seen the weather in Birmingham, Alabama?
I hear rain, huh?
90% chance of rain all day on Saturday, 80% chance of rain all day on Sunday. We have football weather.
Oh yeah, the Saturday game's an evening game, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yes. five p.m. over there, I believe. Yeah.
No, 8 p.m.
8 p.m. over there.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. 5 p.m. here.
Plenty of moisture accumulated on the field at that point. And then I'm interested to see how the field holds up with four games in the rain in a row. They might be playing in a mud pit by the end of the day. Which, you know what?
Turn back the clock. Let's do this. This is what I'm talking about.
That could be a lot of fun.
Football. Look, that's the beauty of football. You don't need this $1 million bullshit. Just have some grass, play a fucking game. All right.
I mean,
let's not overthink this one. All right. You could play this for all I care. You could play it at Drainsville Field. All right.
Damn right.
You could play that on a soccer. Anything. Let's just do it. Just not a dome. All right. Not a dome.
Play it on some natural grass. Yes, the more mud, the better.
Play it on some grass, the weather, the elements. That is football.
I will say the field management team is going to have their hands full throughout this season. With four games a week on that field, it's going to be intense.
Yeah, really.
Who's the guy who does all the Marquise de Sade? They need to bring that guy in. I don't know. It was the guy who used to make all the baseball fields all beautiful. Doubt that's going to be possible.
So I know Nick likes to bring this up here with over unders to start the episode a lot of times on DFS to let you know where they think the most points will be.
Definitely.
But first off, do you think the rain will impact that, Nick?
I mean, I think, gambling, put DFS aside for a second, I think gambling, obviously you probably want to be on most of the unders here anyway. And that was probably before the rain. So that could definitely, but I mean, it seems like everybody's going to be playing in the same conditions. So maybe it doesn't affect it that much from a DFS perspective.
Yeah. I'm looking right now. So the over under on the first game Generals and Stallions is at 42.5. These things open in the 50s. They've came down heavily. Maybe the rain had something to do with that. But 42.5 for that game. Then on Sunday, the Gamblers Panthers kicking off 9 a.m. here on the West. 43.5. Then the Stars Breakers 44, and then the Bandits Maulers at 42.
Not that much of a difference here. You can kind of throw that out the window. I mean, if this was NFL or college football, you could see, some crazy, 10 point differences and stuff, but this is all within a couple points. So, and that's because nobody really knows what to expect.
Yeah. So with that said, we all have DFS lineups. Come play DraftKings with us.
Those would be low scores though, right? Like it's certainly in college, but at the NFL level, you're a little more dialed in than I am, Colby. What the standard NFL,
standard point, NFL game now is like total? Like 175 points. You know what I mean? But I brought up this. Bear with me for a second. I went to find the AAF scores for week one, and I pulled up AAF because that was Moose Johnson also put this league together. He did the AAF as well. Actually, I mean, and I'll even pull up the XFL after this if you want. But this was the week one scores back Saturday, February 9th, 2019. We had Steve Spurrier put it on the Atlanta Legends, 140-6. So that would have cashed the over on all of those games. Mike Riley, who we'll see Saturday night, his San Antonio Commanders won 15-6. So just 21 shootout points in that one. The Memphis Birmingham game, Mike Singletary managed not to score a point for the Memphis team. Birmingham scored 26-0. So the under would have cashed.
Mike Singletary,
there,
who went one and two and as a high school coach.
Then you have the Salt Lake City, Arizona game where Neuheisel took down Salt Lake City 38-22. So the over would have cashed there. So it would have went 2-2 based on those games.
Well, these teams have probably even less time to prepare. And the offense is usually behind in the first place at the beginning of the season. And then you give them the fact that they've had, 3 weeks or a month to get it all together and gel. And then you throw in the rain. I think unders is a play here across the board.
I'm looking at the XFL week one, and the Dragons defenders was 31-19. So the over would have cashed there. Once again, though, they were all playing in unique locations. This is all one. Wildcats Roughnecks. Roughnecks won 37-17. Over would have cashed there. But Vipers Guardians 23-3. That would have been an under. Battlehawks Renegades 15-9. That would have been an under. So 2-2 in both those leagues.
Well, what's pretty crazy though is that so the AAF was 38.25 points per game and the XFL was 38.5. So damn near similar numbers. And if you want to look at the XFL, if you fast forward to week five, all of those lines came down big time. I mean, you were 37, 39 as far as over unders. So they definitely adjusted in that league. And I would imagine they're going to adjust here as well. Because the opening over unders were very high. Surprisingly,
you said the opening over unders were started what in the XFL and they dropped to 35.
Well, I gave you the actuals, what happened week one in the XFL. Then I gave you the pregame betting lines by week five. So I don't know what the lines were in week one. All I know is that
it adjusted.
Exactly.
Gotcha. And now I was at 35 at the end of the 5 weeks of XFL that we got, and here they're opening at 41 is the lowest,
and they're calling for rain in all the same location.
Dude, parlay all four of those games on the under and just stack up a nice little chunk to start it off.
Not a bad idea. Round robin that thing.
Yeah.
Where if one loses, you're still okay. Let's hop into this, guys. Let's give away our lineup. How do you feel? I mean, look, I know when I did the fantasy draft on Tuesday. Shout out to Alt Fantasy. We still have a competition. If you can get in those leagues, we're giving away some money here. So check that out. If you can, it was kind of a crapshoot when you got to running backs and wide receivers. And potentially, you can make the case that it's a crapshoot with the quarterback position. How do you feel about your roster? Are you confident that all of your players will be playing?
Yes, but I don't think that all of my players necessarily are going to get fed the ball very often, if at all. I mean, some of these guys' college stats are pretty paltry. I don't know why Garrett Groshek is as expensive as he is on the DFS when his highest rushing season was 425 yards as a college player. He's like one of the most expensive running backs.
That's a good point.
He's a good receiver. Yeah. He had 80 catches in college. He's And he's almost like a Larry Centers type.
That is a good point. NC Nick, how'd you feel about your roster before we dive into each position?
I've been doing a little bit of roster baiting. Okay. You know, just a tad,
roster baiting. That
sounds bad.
That's the best thing about playing DFS is that you always feel great when you put it together.
Well, when you're roster baiting for hours on end, you always feel great. You're just milking it.
But no, I mean, honestly, nobody really knows what to expect. There's been very little information leaked. So we're all just doing a little bit of research here and there, trying to find reasons why we like a certain player. Honestly, we don't know what's going to happen, you know, but I do like some of the pieces I put together here. I feel pretty good about it now, but I always feel pretty good about a lineup before the game start. So going into week one here, it's going to be the toughest because we don't know what to expect. But after you get a game in the books, then you can start, you know, if you watch all the games, you can see the players that, you know, are separating themselves, you know, from the others. So
yeah, it's going to be night and
that's
day.
That's why we play. It should be
your
fun.
Appetite really grows as the season goes along.
Good round, you're celebrating with your appetite. Bad round, you're using your appetite to forget about the round. I'll tell you something about appetite. It's a real fucking great thing to have.
It is a great thing to have. So let's start things off. NC Nick, you're the DFS god. People read your articles. They say, "Who is this DFS god?" Right?
That's not self-proclaimed. Okay, I'm a humble handicapper.
So what are you doing here at the quarterback position?
Well, you know, I'm a Tampa Bay Bandit guy, and you know, I chose that team as my favorite team before the draft. It seems like everybody's jumping on Tampa Bay now. It's everybody's trendy pick to potentially win it all. But Jordan Tamu, 10.4K. I think he's the safest bet. You know, he's starting, you know, he's put up, you know, some crazy fantasy games in these different leagues, you know, over the last, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years or so. So, I didn't want to get cute. He may have high ownership, but that's okay. I'm going to go Tamu.
Interesting. 10.4K. Patty C. Jordan Tamu, we know he had some great success with the Battle Hawks of St. Louis.
Who upon review had some great helmets.
They took Rice and the Eagles and mashed them together.
Yeah. Pretty much. But they put the sword down the middle of the helmet.
Like
it's pretty solid.
They still played at that filthy dome. True. But
their new stadium should be underneath the arches. It should be directly underneath the
arches. I like that. But Patty C, what do you make of this? You're a Pittsburgh Mauler guy.
I am.
They hired Jaron Horton as their defensive coordinator. Now, I've heard people say this is the game that could be lopsided. Are you at all worried, NC Nick, that they pull Tamu if they're up big?
Game script has not entered my mind, you know. No, I'm not really worried. I don't know if there's going to be like a crazy blowout here. I do think Tampa Bay is, you know, they're going to embrace a pass heavy offense here. And I think Pittsburgh may be one of the worst teams. So I just expect, you know, a good offensive output by my Bandit. So that's why I went with them. You know, game script be damned.
He spent more money at quarterback than I did. Patty C, what did you do at the quarterback position?
Well, I guess I went pretty chalky, all things considered. Took the number one pick in the draft, Shea Patterson.
What was he? What was that amount?
10,500.
Ooh, you went well. Even more expensive.
I will pay the big bucks to have my quarterback play ball. And the fact that I got to see him throwing the ball around last week against the Philadelphia Stars in the whatever practice week that was.
Yeah.
Scrimmage, what have you. I saw him throw a touchdown. He looked pretty good. So the confidence is there. I feel like, hey, I've already seen more tape of this guy than anyone else in the league. I am all on Shea Patterson.
And just today, we did see that FoxSports.com reported that he is expected to start because that was kind of questionable, either him or Lynch. But that news broke today.
Which
then discredits that video because, look, I took Shea Patterson in my draft. I had the 8th pick. So there was not many quarterbacks left because of the uncertainty. So that should be interesting to see there. I mean, obviously Jeff Fisher not known for being an offensive juggernaut, but Sumlin teams have had some weak defenses. I know Nick, you know, watched the Sun Devils of Arizona State and Jaden Daniels drop a 70 spot on them not long ago. look, you guys made the wrong call though. For you can save money. Why not save money? Put a little coin in your pocket, Patty C, and take.
Having a hard time getting those words out of your mouth.
Slaughter Sundays. All right, Slaughter Sundays. I don't know what the fuck it is, but yeah, you're making a mistake not rostering Kyle Sloter, quarterback of the New Orleans Breakers. Now, look, I thought about going. That game's very interesting to me. I think that game's going to hit the over because both teams have quarterbacks that have been in the system. So you look at Kyle Sloter, he was recruited by Larry Fedora at Southern Miss. So he's familiar with that offense. I think he even played a year for him. Wasn't a starter though, but I'm sure he's familiar with what's going on there. And then Kyle Sloter, you know, he's kind of had by far of any of these quarterbacks, he's had the greatest numbers in preseason NFL. I mean, he has yet to throw an interception in preseason NFL. He's, I mean, 413 yards, three touchdowns. Got a passer rating of 124 or 125.4, 70% completion percentage.
Who's this? Kyle Sloter? Really?
Yeah.
For the was it Vikings?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty damn impressive. 400 yards without a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. So I'm all in on Kyle Sloter at 10,000. Look, I thought about getting Brian Scott because he was previously in Bart Andrews' offense, but I paid up for Sloter because I think he's the best quarterback in the league. So
yeah, I think Brian Scott is the play if you want to really save money at the position. You know, for me with Sloter, I just don't really trust Larry Fedora or the offensive coordinator Neil Mazzoni.
You don't trust him to Mazzone. Throw the ball around though.
Yeah, he's gonna be throwing the ball a lot.
Fedora, he actually, you know, it was pretty even. I think Tampa is the one team that's going to pass the ball the most. Now, Fedora, I mean, New Orleans might be second, but I just think Tampa is going to have the most, you know, pass heavy offense.
You know, what's funny about that is that Todd Haley, when he came and replaced, who the fuck is the guy that was just on Tampa on their, on the Bucks that was, that went to the Cardinals.
Arians.
Yeah, Bruce Arians. When Haley came to replace Arians, it was like, oh, we're reinstalling the run here. You know, we're getting back to like, you know, tough guy football. But since he was in the NFL, he's going to throw the ball around effectively. So I see what you're saying there.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, I mean, another thing is you go back to the days. I mean, like I said, Sloter was recruited by Fedora. Fedora also was the OC of the Oklahoma State at one point where they pass heavy. So I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. So $10,000, that was my play. Nick, who is your top running back?
Well, I do have two running backs on my team, and my top guy, I'll take you to the Michigan Panthers because we know Coach Fisher is going to want to run the ball. I don't want to hear, you know, how he's been away from football and he's going to have a new dynamic offense, you know, that's going to be throwing the ball from side to side. I don't think so. When it comes down to it, especially in the rain, they're going to run the ball a lot. And I like what Stevie Scott could potentially do here against the Gamblers. So for 7.4K, I will take Stevie Scott the third.
I like it. I like it. Indiana Hoosier there.
Are we worried at all that Jeff Fisher finished his career with seven straight losing seasons in the NFL? I think taking anyone on that roster is risky.
You took Shea Patterson.
That's true. Here's my guy. Look, I'm just saying, I'm going to be honest here. It's a fucking crapshoot here. Like, let's all have this moment of honesty right now. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We're trying our best.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You broke
my back is broken.
What a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal. Yeah,
that's about as much sense as I'm making here. I know.
But I think with running back, I think there's going to be a lot of committees, and I think here's one where we might not have a committee. Because Scott is pretty good in the pass catching department as well. 55 catches in his college career. So he has a chance maybe to play all three downs. He's a little expensive here, but I like the upside.
All right. Patty C, who is your running back or your highest price running back?
My highest price running back was none other than Mike. Is it Weber? I don't really remember.
Yeah. Never knew how to Buckeye.
Yeah. Former 4-star out of Detroit, Cass Tech. Finally, it's can't spurn Michigan again. Like he did during his recruitment, gets drafted. No, he's on New Jersey. Sorry. Yeah. I'm looking at this wrong. Weber though, several very good seasons at Ohio State. Let me pull up his stats real quick. 1,000 yards, 600 yards, and 900 yards in three separate years at Ohio State. That's pretty good production. Granted, when you're at Ohio State starting,
yeah, I'm about to say
you're gonna get those numbers. But to start at tailback for Ohio State means he's pretty good.
Do you think Mike Riley commits to the run a lot? I guess he had what, Ken Simonton and Rogers. What was the Rogers kid that played for the Falcons?
Jack Wiz and James.
Yeah. So he kind of committed to the run some, I feel like.
You know who?
He's kind of a pass happy coach.
You know who Weber reminds me a little bit of?
Who's that?
Frank Gore.
He's okay.
Little squat, okay. Short, compact running back.
My one concern with him, I think that is going to be a pretty trendy pick because I think he's one of the most known running backs, but the other running back on the roster, Trey Williams, he played with Mike Riley for the Commanders and the Dragons. So a lot of familiarity. It wouldn't surprise me if Williams gets some touches as well. That might eat into Weber's effectiveness.
Mm. Yeah. He might be onto something there. Might be onto something there.
Tisk.
Well, my guy, my highest price, I have three running backs on my roster. I think the angle is to take running backs because with the receivers, I don't think you know who the hell is going to get the ball. My highest price is Larry Rose III from New Mexico State. This kid was electric at New Mexico State. He also spent some time with the Tennessee Titans and the LA Rams, minus Jeff Fisher. He did not follow Jeff Fisher. This is after Fisher was gone, believe it or not. So he's followed the same career. But was on the Arizona Hotshots in the AAF, was also on the Los Angeles Wildcats. Me and Petty C went to a game, saw him live. He can play. It was all first team Sun Belt. So I know Nick probably considered him. but he rushed for almost 5,000 yards in college, guys. This guy's a baller, has over 40 touchdowns in college. I just think Fedora likes to throw to the running back out of the backfield. So besides you getting maybe 70, 80 yards on the ground, watch for some screens and other things. Larry Rose, he's used on some kick returns as well. So I like Larry Rose III at 7K. That is my running back. My highest price running back. Nick, you said you had a second running back.
I do. And that is the other team, which I think is just really going to emphasize the run game. And that is the Maulers. I will take Grant Groshek, the aforementioned. Garrett Groshek for 6.2K because I think, you know, Kirby Wilson being the running back coach, you know, it sounds like a simple breakdown, but I do think they're going to ground and pound and he's going to get his touches. I think he's also a pretty good short yardage running back, so maybe he can punch one or two in.
I like it. I mean,
I like that he's on Pittsburgh and he's basically a fullback playing their tailback position.
And if it's raining, those quarterbacks they have are kind of question marks. Probably Kirby Wilson's a running back coach. He's grounded pound. Hey.
Also, one more thing: Groshek in college, 79 catches, 600 yards. You know, so he can catch a couple balls as well.
Gets you some value there. This guy is Merrill Hodge reborn. I mean, dude, I have not, like when I watched him at, there's a part of me that like really went back to my childhood when I saw him playing, because it's like, you don't get those. I mean, call it what it is. White running backs that can actually run the ball and have power too anymore. Like,
John Riggins, he ain't walking through that door.
Well, Riggins, when was the last guy that we saw that had any of that? Like Christian McCaffrey's a little speedster.
Who's the guy from Arkansas that played on the Browns?
Peyton Willis. Hillis. Yeah.
Hillis, but even still, he was just like a bull. You know, Groshek's got some wiggle. He's like a throwback to like when white people could actually run the ball, which never really happened. But like
Travis Jervey.
Travis Jervey. shout out. No, I mean, he's the throwback to the 60s.
Didn't LSU have one?
Billy Cannon. That was 1959. No,
I feel like in the past decade, there was a white running back for LSU.
LSU? Yeah.
I feel like they had someone. I think you're right.
I think I'm right.
Either way, Groshek is.
I'm not talking Gil Fennerty either. all right, Groshek, I like that play. Patty C, Who was your, how many running backs?
I did three. I also grabbed Groshek, and I took a flyer on another gentleman that strictly I didn't get to see a lot of. He produced a little bit in college, but he has the right name, and that's Tony Brooks James.
Patty C. If you know Patty C, huge James Brooks fan.
That's right.
It's huge my, Tony Brooks fans for the old Notre Dame running back.
There you go. Nice. Or was he quarterback? No, Tony Brooks. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right. Madden. One of those Madden covers. Not Madden 94.
You're thinking of Reggie Brooks.
Oh, Reggie Brooks.
They had Tony Brooks too, man.
Oh shit.
Well, these listeners don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
We're all
right
over the place. All I know is this guy at Oregon had a 770 yards. I mean, he's got 1800 career rushing yards at Oregon. That's production.
Yeah.
That's production.
He's a flea. He's a flea. Like he could really.
So that's what I like. Yeah. That's a 90s backfield right there. You get your one guy who can run but can power the ball, and you get your flea right beside him, and boom, you got a system. We're going back.
I like it.
My potential issue there, though, is I think all three running backs on that team are going to get playing time and touches. Also, CJ Marable from Coastal Carolina. He may be.
You speak of him. He is my running back.
There you go.
Well, look, I've watched a lot of Skip Holtz football in my day. I looked this up from the fantasy draft on Tuesday. He always has a run heavy team. I've never once seen a team. I pulled up the stats within the Conference USA and the AAC. He was always top three in running the football. So I expect him to do the same, especially when you're adding in the rain. I took CJ Marable. So at 5,400, I think he's a steal.
Yeah, I think Marable will probably get the early down work, maybe Brooks James third down. But another guy to watch out for is that in the supplemental draft, they added a third running back, Jordan Chun. So I don't know if Holtz just saw value there or if he wasn't necessarily pleased with his top two guys. But I think all three of them could get touches, and that's got committee written all over it.
I just know that you might have committee, but you have a guy that commits. Like to me, when you have Larry Fedora and these other guys that I'm counting on them to throw the ball to the running back out of the backfield. I know Skip Holtz is going to hand off the ball like 75% of the game. So
fair enough.
I'll take my shots.
And the price is right too.
Yeah, the price is right. My third running back is, you might remember Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins. Well, this is Dalen Dawkins, and he's gonna bring some thunder. Former Colorado State Ram, and I remember him slicing and dicing my Buffaloes. He's a Houston Gambler now, and look, he's kind of a scat, but here's what I like about it. Sumlin loves to throw to the running back out of the backfield. He did it at A&M. He did it at Arizona. He did it as far back with the Houston Cougars. He's going to do it again with the Houston Gamblers.
I mean, what was it? His offense isn't air raid per se, but I feel like all the coaches in Texas.
Well, he had Kingsbury as an OC.
Yeah.
For some of that years with Johnny Football.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. He was throwing the ball around like he was one of the innovators of the spread, and he may have even been, he wasn't a Mike Leach disciple.
I don't believe someone was, but Clint Kingsbury certainly was.
Yeah, so, the whole of the Big 12, was doing that at the time. So
I like. I went with two running backs. I think Rose and Dawkins, even Marable. I didn't go with like a workhorse. I went with three that I think are gonna be getting the ball out of the backfield in on screens, and they're gonna try to find ways, especially with it being raining. If they're going to be throwing the ball, it is going to be a lot of screens. It will be safe passes. So that was my outlook on grabbing some.
Yeah,
of these
if
backs.
You look at Dawkins, I mean, Dawkins is only 5'7", 183, so he's not going to be your between the tackles runner. Obviously DraftKings is PPR, so you got to hope he catches at least three or four balls or something.
And he's related to Brian Dawkins, so
not afraid to hit.
Had to add him to the mix.
The thing about rain is big plays happen, and you get your Gale Sayers out there who can run in the mud, and is a flea even despite the mud. He could have a big game. So
also his dad Ralph Dawkins played for Louisville and the New Orleans Saints. So
there it is.
Just a family
football
of football
in
there.
The blood.
All right, receivers. Nick, who was your highest priced receiver?
I got a stallion here, a purebred. Well, actually, he's not a stallion. He's not a Birmingham stallion. He is 9.1K, and his name is Sean Poindexter. Ooh. So hopefully your boy Kyle Slaughter is looking to him early and often. The one thing I like about Poindexter is the OC was also, Mazzoni was also the OC at Arizona when Poindexter played there. Mm. Had a pretty nice year. I think it was either junior or senior year where he caught 42 balls for almost 800 yards and 11 touchdowns. So red zone target, can you say? Give me Sean Poindexter for 9.1K.
I mean, I doubled down on that. Did you hit that too, Colvin?
I got him too.
Oh, triple lock on Sean Poindexter. You got Larry.
Breaker.
Yeah, look, right. You're going to know that they're passing the ball a substantial amount. So I love it. And I knew the OC thing too. So like that.
He seems like he's going to be maybe the guy who gets the biggest statistic output of the weekend. Especially he was the number one pick for the breakers of the whole draft.
Yeah. For the receivers. Yeah.
Okay. He's got he's a pretty expensive.
91K. Hopefully it pays off. So we all three have them. So Nick, it's back on you. Who's your second wide receiver?
All right. For 7.2K, I'll take Jordan Sewell. Carry over.
I got him too.
Oh.
7.2K. Continue talking though, because Patty C doesn't have him, I don't think.
No.
He's played with Bart Andrews before. He's played with the quarterback Brian Scott before. You know, when you only have a month to prepare, you like to find some familiarity. And that's certainly what Sewell has with the quarterback and the head coach. So I think it makes a lot of sense to roster him this week.
Yeah. I mean, I was all over taking him, man. That was like, and he's cheaper than the other receiver for Philly. What the hell was his name? The other receiver, what was it?
Eagles or Gray? Yeah.
Even though
Eagles is cheaper, but Gray's more expensive, I think.
But Eagles, it doesn't have the history, but Eagles was apparently having a great preseason. So you have Patty C. Who's your second wide receiver then?
Well, I went tight end actually. And you know, I think
in the slop, it's in the muck. Maybe some play action to that's the tight end.
Tight end.
I got a tight end on my roster too, so I'm curious as to.
Well, I went by name again because I'm not working with much, but Joey Magnifico.
There you go.
Yeah, buddy. 71 catches while at Memphis, catching from the likes of Paxton Lynch. 15 yards a catch over his tenure there, and 12 touchdowns. So some pretty good statistical potential there. And at 5.7K, pretty good value.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess the
and Shea Patterson throwing in the ball.
I feel like Fisher's a tight end guy too. Used to throw it to Cap Bozo and the Bears when he was on that team.
Nice pull. Here's another factor here too. Should Shea Patterson screw up? Guess who was throwing Joey Magnifico the ball in college?
Oh, Paxton Lynch,
who is the backup.
Okay.
Nice so angle, little connection nice there.
That's a good question too. How many quarterbacks you think we'll see play? You think it's just going to be, we got what, eight teams? You think we're just going to see eight quarterbacks, or are we going to see some backups in the game?
I would imagine someone's going to see the bench.
I have a lineup that I'm going to do. I'll give it away on Twitter. Besides this actual lineup where I play Kenji Bahar, the quarterback, he was drafted second by the Houston Gamblers, but I think he might be better than Clayton Thorson. So, Nick, who's your second tight end? Or I'm sorry, who's your first tight end, the second tight end drafted?
Yes, it is a different tight end. This guy is 5.2K. He might not have the name, the household name, as Magnifico or as cool of a name, but I think he might be the best tight end in the league. And that is Brandon Barnes on the Houston Gamblers. He's cheaper than your guy. And, you know, Colby was just talking about the quarterback situation there. I don't know about Thorson or Bahar. So, bad quarterbacks, they like that security blanket over the middle, especially in bad weather. Barnes played well in the XFL. He caught at least two balls in every game, I think. So, I always like squeezing a tight end here. So, I think a big game for Brandon Barnes maybe in the cards.
You've been known to squeeze a tight end here and there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But look, So I'm pretty much done with my roster, but before I still got a defense I got to give away. But before we get to all that, I want to tell you that the USFL gambling podcast DFS show is brought to you by WynnBET. All right. Look, bet $10 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. Get mountain cold refreshment delivered straight to your door via Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/SGP. That's CoorsLight.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as 40 grand with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And last but not least, you're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is free to download. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts and content. You want DFS articles? You want these episodes, the USFL Gambling Podcast, or the College Football Experience, or the Sports Gambling Podcast? We got you covered. All right. So grab that thing today for free and let it ride. All right, guys. I only have one. Do you have two players left, Nick?
No, I'm done except for my defense.
Patty C, do you have any players left?
I am done except for my defense as well.
So this is where we go to the land down under. All right. And we go for, I want to know if you guys were as wise as me. Because there was a guy that coached for the 85 Bears, right? He also coached with the Philadelphia Eagles with their awesome fucking defense in the late 80s and early 90s. And then he coached the Oilers defense, Jeff Fisher. I think he's the lone defensive head coach in the USFL. Well, one of my problems with the some of the coaches they selected, they missed out on a couple of defensive coaches there. Should have evened the field a little bit, but I'm all in on the Panthers defense. So give me that 4,700. I think there's a chance you could see, you know, some aggressive blitzing. You know, he comes from the Greg Williams and Buddy Ryan defense, defensive
lineage.
Yeah, lineage. So at 4,700, the Panthers are my home run defense here. Now, I did think there was another angle you could do defensively that made some sense, and I'm curious if NC Nick did it. Nick, who's your defense?
Well, I didn't have enough money. That does make sense to go the route you went down, but I'm going with my Bandits, man. 4,100. I think they're probably the best team in the league, and they may be playing the worst team. And also the team led by a guy who's never been head coach before. Mm. So yeah, give me Tampa Bay Bandits.
I thought that was exactly my other angle. I go, do I go Bandits against the, but I also thought though, if it's raining, one guy's style might be better than everyone else's in the whole league of running the rock.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Like the physicality of what Ken Wilson is known for. I'm sorry, not Ken Wilson. What's the, my guy's name?
Kirby
Wilson.
Kirby.
Ken Wilson's the coach of Nevada. Yeah, I mean, I thought, okay, Houston's not going to know what to do. They play a finesse pass offense, someone teams traditionally do. If it's pouring rain, they don't want to get in a little dog fight with the Panthers and Jeff Fisher.
Oh,
Patty C, what'd you go defensively?
Well, let me look at this schedule. I went Panthers as well. Again, I kind of just followed, took your tailed you on that one. It's hard to argue with Jeff Fisher's experience. He's done it before. We saw some of the coaches with good experience coordinating and head coaching succeed at in the what XFL?
Yeah,
who was that? Who was in the lead for
Jerry Glanville?
Well, Glanville, but yeah. At the Texas team, our other boy June Jones.
June Jones
was killing it. So yeah. I do think the head coaching chops and experience really pays dividends here, especially at the beginning. So a guy like Fisher with a ton of experience, I think you got to bet on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so two Panthers. I do think those are your best two plays. I think if you're taking a defense in that Philly New Orleans game, watch me be completely wrong. I think that's crazy. And yeah, if you're taking, maybe you could talk me into like the Generals defense against Birmingham because the quarterback position is a little bit of a stretch, but I don't know. I think the Panthers, I'm going with the guy that coaches defense for the past 30 years. All right. So that's my play. And then look, I do have another roster though, where I'm going to take a shot on Kenji Bahar as the quarterback of the Houston Gamblers. Cause I think, and he's mobile, so he might be able to get you some, that'll be interesting to see. I want Nick, if you had to guess on one quarterback that was drafted in, you know, cause the first round was all quarterbacks that would not start, who would that be? Would that be the Maulers, Lauletta? Would it be Love getting the start instead of Lauletta? Would you?
Well, so some news just came out recently about at least some of the teams and the quarterbacks who have basically been named the starters. That is Patterson, Tamu, Slaughter. No news on Pittsburgh with Lauletta. I think we're pretty sure Brian Scott is going to be the starter. I like, if I'm going to do an alternate lineup, I would probably go Brian Scott.
I think DeAndre Johnson will be because Ben Holmes got injured. They just recently picked up Luis Perez from the XFL, the New York Guardians. But he just came like a week ago. So like, I would assume that's DeAndre Johnson. I feel pretty good with that statement.
Yeah. Agreed. I think Birmingham, that's up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Jamar
there.
Smith, who's penciled in to be the backup, played for Holtz at Louisiana Tech, so maybe he would be the starter. I don't know.
The other one was Thorson is expected to start.
Really? See, because that would, yes. Okay. Well,
that was reported by foxsports.com today.
Interesting.
I have one thought potentially, like you mentioned about Kirby Wilson being a pound the rock kind of guy. Looked at the schedule here. The Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh game is the last game of the weekend. So lots of wear and tear on that field. And when you got an ultimate mutter and Garrett Groshek toting the rock on the other side of the, that could be a problem for old Tampa Bay.
That makes sense. I like that angle. Maybe you load up with some Maulers running backs. Maybe that's the play. Either
his mother was a mutter.
Yes, his mother was a mutter. Either way,
classic Seinfeld line.
Gotta love that. Either way, subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast. We're gonna do this show every single week. I know we had a little bit of audio problems there, but bear with us as that does not normally happen. Perhaps we're trying to be like them in the storm in Birmingham.
That's right. We're giving you a representation.
Yes.
It's what do they call that? Theme acting or
sure.
Method. We're method announcers here.
Subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast though. We cover it all. We got a picks episode out. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. We got the USFL episode out there too. And like I said, Alt Fantasy. We're doing fantasy football with the USFL. We got you covered on all fronts. We will handicap every single game of the USFL for years to come. So tell a friend and yeah, subscribe to the College Football Experience. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Get that SGPN app. The USFL Gambling Podcast is on Twitter at USFL Gambling. I'm on Twitter at DColbyD. Patty C is on Twitter at Patty C831. NC Nick's on Twitter at NC_NICK. Give us all a follow. And this is great. It's Christmas in April. All right. Can't wait to talk to you guys with the recap episode right after all these games play out. So let's have some fun. Enjoy the weekend. This is the USFL Gambling Podcast, DFS style. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.